Today, I want to thank Sara and Kamran for telling us about the Shahadat of Hazrat Ali Asghar and Hazrat Abbas, who were one of the most important people in the Battle of Karbala. Hazrat Abbas, because he was the brother of Imam Hussein and Imam Hassan, because he was the son that Imam Ali had asked for. He was everything that represented loyalty to the Imam, to the lovers of the Ahlul Bayt. He meant protection and he meant safety for their women and children. And so, after Hazrat Abbas, after his Shahadat, Imam Hussein was all alone. There was no one left for Imam Hussein. In the desert, barren city of Karbala in Iraq, there was no one left. In front of Imam Hussein, there were the enemies, the army of Yazid, all of the killers, all of those people that had killed the Imam and his family, those people who had blocked access to water for the Imam, those people who were making his children, his women, everyone around him suffer, those people, these were the people that took the right away from Imam Ali, from Imam Hassan, and now they were torturing Imam Hussein. Imam Hussein was all alone. And in his loneliness, in his despair, after seeing one after another of his family members become shaheed, after seeing Abbas near the river of Euphrates, after seeing Abbas leave the Adam, after seeing his arms being severed, after seeing Hassan bin Umair throwing an arrow in the chest of Ali Akbar, after seeing his most loyal companions like Habib ibn Mazahir and Muslim bin Al-Sajjah killed because they were loyal to the Imam, because they refused to leave the Imam, after seeing the brutal murder, the way that they had killed Aun and Muhammad, even the smallest children, after seeing Muslim bin Aqil's sons killed, Imam Hussein was all alone in the desert of Karbala. Something that we often neglect in our majalis is Karbala was completely barren. There was nothing there. The closest source to water or to any kind of life there was the river Euphrates. And most of our historians, most of our stories that we hear, we know that the access to water was blocked by Yazid's army on the 7th. So before that, imagine when the Imam was coming to Karbala, when Hur had stopped him and they were forced to make their tents in Karbala. Even then, the Imam, knowing everything that was to come, knowing these were the enemies that would kill his family and torture his women and his children, even then, the Imam, out of his own water, out of his own basic needs that he had brought with him, he gave every single one of the thousands and thousands of men in Yazid's army, he gave every single one water. And that wasn't enough for the Imam. He gave their horses and their camels water. So much that every single one of them was quenched. It wasn't like they had one gulp of water and they were like, oh no, I'm okay. They had so much, they had enough water, while the Imam had practically nothing. He gave them every single thing that they had. He kept telling them, I am the son of the Prophet, I am the son of Ali, I am the son of Fatima. I am the son of whom the Prophet would say, this person, if you stay with him, if you stay with Ali, you will be guaranteed a good place in Jannah. If you stay loyal to Ali, and to Fatima, and to Hassan, If you stay loyal to my Ahlul Bayt, then your Akhirat is guaranteed. Allah will be your safety in your Akhirat. Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein, the Prophet had said, were the youths. They were the princes of the youths of paradise. All of us here today, inshallah, when we see our imams, they will welcome us because they are the leaders of the youths of paradise. And all of those people, all of those men in Yazid's army, they knew that. They knew every single thing. Those were all men that also prayed, that also read Quran, that knew about the importance of the Ahlul Bayt. They knew everything. They knew who Ali Akbar was. They knew who Abbas was. They had seen them growing up in front of them. But still, because they were greedy, because they were bloodthirsty, because Yazid had promised them, I will give you this land if you do this. I will give you this wealth if you do this. I will give you this many jewels and this much money. If you kill Hussein, if you stop Hussein. All because they were hungry for this world. They wanted power, they wanted money. Even though they knew that the Akhirat was much better, that if they did side, if they did help the Imam, then they might not have been successful in this life, but they will be successful in the eyes of Allah, in the life that comes after, in the honor of Shahadat. In front of Imam were characters like these, people like Shimmer, people like Ibn Ziyad and Umar bin Sa'd, people like Hurmala. And behind the Imam were only the women and the children of his family. Behind the Imam, there was Bibi Zainab and Bibi Umm Rabah. And there were tiny children like Bibi Sakina and Hazrat Ali Asghar. These were not people who were accustomed to fighting. These people, they didn't argue, they didn't fight. They didn't have weapons. They barely had anything to eat. They did not have water. And among all of those women and children, all of those lonely and depressed and sad women, who Yazid's army, whose family they had killed in front of them. Imagine every single mother and every single brother and sister in the tent of Imam Hussein, watching their loved one die, knowing that once they go into battle, they won't return. Every single one of them had seen what Shahadat looked like. And every single one of them showed patience. In the tent of Imam Hussein, there was only one male. There was only one man, and that was Imam Zain al-Abidin. And Imam Zain al-Abidin, he was not strong. At that time, when they were coming to Karbala from Medina, Imam Zain al-Abidin had gotten very sick. He had such a horrible fever. He was so weak that in his tent in Karbala, surrounded by all of the rest of the women and children, he could barely move. He could barely lift his arms. He could barely speak. But Imam was there. Because when Imam Hussein was leaving the tent, when it was Imam Hussein's turn to go and fight and to show those people in Yazid's army what was right and what was wrong, he knew that he had to leave someone behind. He had to leave an Imam behind. So that the women and the children, after Imam Hussein, would have a leader. They will have protection. They will have someone that can guide them. Whether they knew what was coming or not, they would have a leader. Every single time has a leader. Our leader is Imam Sahib al-Zaman.
Salawat.
Every single time has a leader. Every single time has an imam. Because the imam never abandons his people, his lovers, his followers. And so when Imam Hussein had left, when he was entering into the battlefield towards Yazid's army, he had left his successorship, he had left Imam Zain al-Abidin as the leader after him, so that everyone there knew that this was the person that would carry on the Prophet's progeny and the Prophet's legacy after him. And then, in all of his loneliness, the Imam, standing in front of Yazid's army, covered in the blood, covered in the blood of all of his family members, his companions, his friends, his brother, his sons, his nephews, covered in so many wounds that even if you started counting them, it would be impossible to count every single one. And that was just what was on his body. Imagine the heart of Imam, how strong it had to be, and at the same time, what his heart was going through. And he stood in front of Yazid's army, and he said, "Hal min nasir yansurna?" Is there any helper to help us? He introduced himself. "I am Abu Abdullah. I am the son. I am he who the Prophet said was his son. The Prophet who gave you Islam and brought you salvation." Why did the Imam ask Yazid's army for help? Why did the Imam bother coming out? Even though he knew these were the murderers that had killed his family. In front of his eyes, Imam had to bury every single one of them. Imam had to take care of their women and children. Why? Because it is an Imam's duty. Because it is Imam's duty to give everyone a chance. No one on the Day of Judgment can say to Imam Hussein, "You did not give me a chance." Every single moment, Imam Hussein tried to tell them, "I am Hussein. I can give you heaven if that is what you really want. I can give you wealth if that is what you really want. But killing me, hurting my family, will not guarantee you anything except hellfire." This was Imam giving the worst of all of humanity another chance. Imagine someone so bad that no matter how many times that person hurts you, you're still giving them a chance. Imagine the heart of Imam. Imagine the faith of the Imam. Imagine the courage of the Imam. Imam said, "Hal min zabbin yazubbu an harama Rasulullah?" Is there any defender to repulse the enemy from approaching the tents of the family of the Prophet? Is there anyone that can even help me so that the enemies don't come to my tent and don't hurt my family? But there was silence. Not a single voice was heard. Not a single person from Yazid's army stepped forward. These were heartless, cruel men. They had cold hearts that even if they said, "I believe in Rasul," even if they read Quran, even if they were reading Salat, they did not know what it meant to love your Imam, to love your Rasul, the person who brought you Islam. These were cruel, heartless enemies. But Imam refused. Imam said, "No, I want to give them a chance." Even until his last dying breath, Imam gave them a chance. Even after every single shahadat, he gave them a chance. And there was silence. Alam tasma'u? Do you not hear me? Do you not hear me? I am the son of the Prophet. I am the son of Ali and Fatima. I am giving you a chance. And you're silent. Don't you hear me? You killed my family, but I'm still giving you a chance. Trying to give you a chance so that you... Because if you want heaven so badly, so that you have a chance for that. Even after all of the horrible things you do to me, I'm giving you a chance. Alaysa fikum muslimu? Is there not even a single Muslim amongst you? And again, there was no response. Silence from the forces of Yazid. When Imam Hussein gave this final call to all of the world, to all of the humanity that was around him, his son, Imam Zainul Abidin, trembling, dragged himself out of his bed. Remember, Imam is so sick he could barely move. He used a stick, a staff, and he dragged himself out of bed because he wanted to answer his Imam. He wanted his Imam to know that I am here, I am your follower. I will listen to you and I will help you in every way you can. Imagine the desperation of your Imam to ask the enemies for help after they do so many things to him. Imam was so weak, and in his weak voice, in his high fever, in his trembling and in his despair, he said, Labbaik, Labbaik ya Abata. I am here, Father. Just like we say Labbaik when we are reading Noha, when we are reading Masai, when we think of our Imam, the Imam of our time, we say Labbaik Mawla. I am here, I will help you. No matter what the world does to me, how many people, how many enemies are around me, I will say Labbaik to my Imam. But Imam Hussein said, no, go back. Go back. He asked Imam Zainul Abidin to go back. Because Imam Hussein knew and Imam Zainul Abidin knew that Imam Zainul Abidin would be the Imam after Imam Hussein. And because every single time, every single people needs their Imam, he knew that he could not go. He was too weak. Jihad is not meant for people who are weak, people who are sick. It is meant for people who are strong. It is not meant for thirsty people. Like the family of the Imam who was so thirsty, and even in their thirst and their hunger, they fought. Because they could not bear the thought of leaving their Imam alone. They wanted to do something, anything, to sacrifice themselves for the love of their Imam. But there was another voice. A loud cry came out from the women, from the tent of the women. There was loud crying. And Imam Hussein turned back to see what all of that noise was. And when he came inside and he saw all of the women crying, he saw Bibi Zainab, Bibi Umar Aba, Bibi Farwa, all of them crying and looking towards Ali Asghar. Ali Asghar was restless in his crib. In his cradle, he could not stay still. He had heard Imam's call. He had heard Hal Min Nasir. And Ali Asghar couldn't stay there and do nothing. He was a child. He was not even a child. He was a baby. He was a newborn. 6 months. 6 months is not the age to even speak. He could not speak, he could not walk, he could not get up by himself, move by himself. This is a baby. that had had no water, not even milk. Babies have to drink milk every 2 hours, newborns. And this baby had nothing. Not water, not food, not milk, not good conditions. Imagine a baby seeing all of his mothers, aunts, and all of the people around him, his sisters, crying all the time because there was so much sadness. Even a baby can feel that sadness. Ali Asghar was so restless. Imam went to Ali Asghar. Imam picked him up. And looking at him, Imam knew that Ali Asghar was trying to say Labbaik. Labbaik ya Abata. Labbaik my father. Labbaik my Imam. There is a distinction between the Shaheed of Karbala, because they were not fighting because Imam Hussein was their father or their uncle. They were fighting because Imam Hussein was their Imam. Just like we have our Imam. Ali Asghar wanted to do something for his Imam. Labbaik, he was trying to say. Now, Imam Hussein was all alone as he called for help. And some say that Ali Asghar had actually fallen from his cradle because he was so restless. He just could not bear that Imam was all alone. This thirsty, pure infant son of my Imam who acknowledged his father and his Imam. I keep saying Imam because I want you to think of your Imam. What will we do when our Imam asks for our help? Our Imam is in Ghaibat. How many of us are ready to say Labbaik? How many of us have made ourselves into the kind of Muslims that Imam Hussein had, the kind of companions and family that Imam Hussein had? Then Imam Hussein went into the battlefield. But he took Ali Asghar with him in his arms. He took Ali Asghar. Ali Asghar wore a white blanket, sort of. And Imam went towards the army of Yazid and he showed them Ali Asghar, who was so tiny and so beautiful that some of them had actually thought, well, maybe Imam is bringing the Quran out. But it was this baby. Imam showed them Ali Asghar. And Ali Asghar, his lips were so dry because he had not had a single drop of water. His throat was so dry. He had not had anything, not a single drop of anything had gone down his throat for days. And Imam brought him in front of Yazid's army and he says, what has this baby done to you? If your animosity is with me, if you hate me, what has my baby done? Can you give my baby water? He cannot walk, he cannot speak, he can't do anything. Surely you have enough sympathy in your hearts to give a baby water. Surely there are fathers amongst you. Yazid's army had all kinds of people. Were there not fathers? Did they not have sons who had babies? But nothing. Seeing Ali Asghar, can you imagine? The same people who just a while ago, when Imam was asking for help, there was complete silence. The same people, when they saw Ali Asghar, started to hide their face because they felt guilty. Because they didn't want the other enemies, their commanders, they didn't want Umar ibn Sa'd, they didn't want Ibn Zayd to see that they were actually sad. This was the effect that Ali Asghar had on the army of the cold and heartless men of Yazid. Imam kept the baby there and he said, if you don't believe me, if you don't trust me, I will put this baby on the ground. I will put it far from me. Just please have some mercy and give this baby water. If you really hate me, don't give me anything, but give my baby something. My baby can't do anything. He hasn't done anything. There was such a commotion in the army of Yazid on seeing Ali Asghar. That the commanders, so one of the commanders was Umar bin Sa'd and another one was Ibn Yazid. They said, stop him, stop Hussein, look what he's trying to do. He's trying to trick you, he's trying to manipulate us, he's trying to make us feel sorry for his baby so he can get water. They started making these things up, that as if Imam Hussein had actually needed water. Do you think the prince of the leaders of all of the heavens, do you think that if he did not ask for Allah to give him water, Allah would refuse? He only wanted water for his baby. There was such a commotion that Hurmala was ordered, kill that baby, stop Hussein, stop him before all of my forces, before all of these people, before their hearts start to melt, before they actually start to feel sympathy or feel guilt. And Hurmala, who was an expert archer, he was an expert at bow and arrow. He used to kill big animals. And he had such precision, he could kill anyone from far away from the battlefield. Even the most fearless warriors were afraid of him because he was such an expert at it. He took out his heaviest arrow, the heaviest arrow that he had, that was for killing animals. An arrow that was even bigger than baby Ali Asghar. And he pulled it in the direction of Ali Asghar. And when he let that arrow go, Imam Hussein was holding Ali Asghar in his arms. And when he let that arrow go, it pierced the neck of Ali Asghar so much. Imagine a tiny neck of a baby and an arrow so big it could kill an animal. There was so much blood that perhaps not even enough water had the baby drunk. There was so much blood. And now Imam Hussein had felt completely alone. Now he was utterly alone. Ali Asghar did this for his Imam. Ali Asghar was able to make a sacrifice for his Imam. We do jihad every day. There was jihad that we do that's called Jihad-e-Akbar, and there's Jihad-e-Asghar. Jihad-e-Akbar is that jihad that we do every day where we struggle, where we make decisions between right and wrong. Where if someone is telling a lie, we stop them. Or we stop ourselves from doing something wrong. If I think I'm about to lie and I stop myself, I have done Jihad al-Akbar. I have done the greater Jihad. Allah is saying, this is the better Jihad. This is the bigger Jihad. And Jihad al-Asghar is the Jihad that you do with swords and weapons. Everyone in Karbala, on Yazid's side, they were preparing for Jihad al-Asghar. These men were cruel and heartless. They did not have knowledge. They did not have love in their heart. They did not know the difference between right and wrong, though they prayed and though they read Quran. And everyone on Imam Hussein's side, those people, those pure people, from the baby to the women, to the oldest of men, Hazrat Muslim bin Al-Sajjah and Hazrat Habib were one of the oldest guys there. They were doing Jihad al-Akbar. They were giving their lives for the Imam, to protect the Imam. They were practicing patience and loyalty. They were controlling themselves. So when the Imam said no, when he said to Abbas, no, please, don't fight, that was Jihad al-Akbar. That was what we all need to do every day. Think about Imam Hussein when you get a drink. Think about Imam Hussein every time you tell the truth. But when someone is doing something wrong, think about Imam Hussein when you try to stop them. Jihad al-Akbar is something we need to do every day. Because of course we are not all doing jihad with a gun or with spears every day. We're not in that position. We are preparing for the coming of our Imam. By doing Jihad al-Akbar, we are preparing ourselves. By practicing patience, by waiting, intizar is one of the most beautiful and most powerful things that you can do for your Imam, because it means that you are preparing yourself for when he comes. So when the time comes, you also will be able to say, I was the helper of Imam. That when my Imam needed me, I came to him. I was able to say, Labbaik, Ya Imam. Imam Hussein looked at the baby in his arms, covered in blood. And he wondered how he should bring that baby back to its mother. How will Rubab feel? How will she react when she sees her baby in the arms of Imam, drenched so much in blood? The Imam contemplated. He thought, how do I bring myself to the tent even? Part of the amal that we do on Ashur, on the day of Ashura, is to commemorate Ali Asghar. Is to remember Ali Asghar. When Imam Hussein had the body of his baby son in his hand, he went forward to the tent, saying, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. And then, as he got to the tent, he thought of the mother and the women, of his aunt. And he could not bear the thought, and he would walk back. This is part of the amal that we do. This is the importance and significance, and the weight, and the honor that we give Ali Asghar, the infant son of Imam, this baby who is able to cause a stir in the hearts of even the enemies, who was so important that we remember him during our ziyarat, we remember him during our aman. We remember him in every little action that we do, every mother. If you have a little brother or sister, every single person in here thinks about Ali Asghar. When they see a baby, this was the weight of his sacrifice. Seven times Imam walked forward and Imam walked back. The seven times he thought, what will I do? This was the desperation and the loneliness of the Imam. And then finally, he came to the tent and informed the women. And that was the end of Ali Asghar. And then, the women in Imam Zainul Abidin, then they knew that there was nothing stopping the forces of Yazid. If they could not have mercy on even the baby, then maybe now we really could not do anything. And once Imam Hussein went to battle, that would be the end of it. And we would become Ghareeb and Mazloom. While everyone has this grief in their heart, please make dua in the sake of our Imam, of Imam Hussein, of Baby Ali Asghar, Ali Akbar, Muhammad, of Hazrat Abbas, of all of the Shaheed of Karbala. Please make dua from your heart. Keeping this sadness in your heart and your love for Imam Hussein in your heart, make dua that Allah please guide us on the path of the Imam, on Sirat al-Mustaqim, and that Allah make us among the helpers of the Imam of our time. Someone that our Imam is proud to have in his army. And please, Allah, hasten the appearance of Imam al-Hajjah. So,